Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel, where we have open lines now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, with an invitation to keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, well, call now. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available wide open at 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, and live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel is New Covenant. It's not Old Covenant, it's New Covenant. And the reason it's New Covenant is because there was something wrong with the Old Covenant. That's what the writer of Hebrews said, if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant. So there was something wrong with that first covenant, and the covenant that the writer of Hebrews is speaking about is the Mosaic covenant, that covenant that has the Ten Commandments as its centerpiece. That's the covenant that the writer of Hebrews is speaking about. He says there was something wrong with that one. And he said because there was something wrong with it, a new one was sought for. And the reason is because God found fault with the people. We were the problem. We've always been the problem. As soon as Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind became the problem. We could not reflect the image or glory of God. Sin stained us. Sin separated us. Sin killed us. We all come into this world dead spiritually, and there's no way for God life to flow through us. So there was something wrong with us. And that old covenant, that was requiring God stuff. And we just didn't have it in us to do. And so we needed a new covenant. And this new covenant, God puts God stuff in us. He writes His laws on our hearts and writes them in our minds so that we can know what God's all about. He opens the way for us to experience true, personal, intimate relationship with God the Father, truly know Him, not just know about Him, not just have knowledge, but to have heart experience of God in our day-to-day lives. We have assurance that we're God's people, and all of this is built on the foundation of Christ's sacrifice, the sacrifice that took away our sins, and that enables God to remember them no more. It is just great stuff. We needed this new covenant. And this new covenant was ushered in, ratified, made effective by the death of Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer today, you're a new covenant guy. You may not know it. You may not realize it, but it's true. And if you want to experience all the blessings that God has for you, if you want to experience all the promises, all the provisions, if you want to live life to the full, then you have to let go of the old and grab hold of the new. It's as simple as that. So become a new covenant person. You can't make it under the old, but God's equipped you to experience all that He has in this new.
And that, friends, is Basic Gospel. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper is here, and we welcome you. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now, so if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New York and talk to Christoph, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Christoph.
Yes, salutation from heaven to you. And my question is about the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and what sort of food is that? Any food can copy to be that type of food? And what this has to do with the old covenant, with God and Adam and Eve?
Well, Christoph, good question. As far as that tree in the garden, there's not a lot of specifics given about that tree other than it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil really didn't exist at that point. The contrast between the two, all Adam and Eve knew before they partook, was the goodness of God. That's all they experienced from the moment they were brought into this world. was the goodness of God, the glory of God, the presence of God, the loving kindness of God, the tenderness of God. That's what they knew, and that's what God intended for them to know. And then Satan presented the temptation. He made the fruit of that particular tree look good to them, desirable for them, and so they ate. And at that moment, knowledge of good and evil came into being. They understood the difference. What is evil? It's rooted in rebellion toward God. And when a heart rebels against God, then it's going to pervert everything that God has brought to the table. And that's what we've seen in this world for 6,000 years, evil of every single kind. I love how Paul wrote about knowledge in 1 Corinthians. He said, "The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God." So at that moment, we held knowledge up as the idol, is something that we worship. There are all kinds of religious philosophies that are based on knowledge, enlightenment. You cannot reach a certain level until you're enlightened, until you've received certain knowledge. But those folks who think they know something, according to this passage, they don't know anything. And that's where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil leaves us, not knowing anything. The one thing that we needed to know was God the Father. Adam and Eve forfeited that knowledge to grab hold of some empty stuff. They've passed that on to all of us. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be brought back to that tree of life, and we can experience what we truly need to know, and that is God the Father himself. Well, Christoph, great question today. Sure appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. It talks about this new covenant that we enjoy today through faith in Jesus Christ. The three of us had a chance to sit around this table in our studios and to talk about the new covenant. I think this is really a wonderful, wonderful resource. It sets the foundation. It puts your feet on solid ground as far as your relationship with the Lord is concerned, provides the framework in which you can truly live out what God has called you to do. So grab hold of this particular resource. We want to send it to you as our way of saying thanks for a gift of Basic Gospel this week.
Yeah, a gift of any amount, and you can find a prominent link to make that gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can talk with a very, very nice lady named Billy, who is our customer service representative at 1-800-727-2828. Again, during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828, the Basic Gospel Journey, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Tom, listening to us in
Sturbridge.
Sturbridge on WVNE. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Great. Praise the Lord. Listen, I just wanted to respond to Bob from Springfield yesterday when he spoke about, you know, praying to the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
To me, it's very simple. Only God is omnipresent, you know. Mary is not omnipresent. She won't hear a prayer from Massachusetts or a prayer from India. You know, she's just a human being. She was a vessel that God used, and that was it. You know, she's a blessed vessel, of course, because she was found worthy to carry the Christ. But otherwise, that's it. You know, we pray only to God, and Jesus spoke that when he says, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. That's it, in the name of Christ.
Pretty simple. I think that's what the Word of God teaches, and we sure want to complicate things. We want to feel close to, you know, folks. I mean, in the Protestant church, you would think if you're going to pray to someone other than God, you'd pray to Paul. But we don't teach that. We don't put him up on a pedestal and revere him as something other than he was. He was just a person like us who needed to be saved. And God showed incredible patience and mercy to him, whom he called himself the chief of sinners, as an example to us that the same mercy is available to us. And it's the same way with Mary. She was a sinner just like you, just like me. She needed salvation, and Jesus became her Savior. Not only was he her son from a biological standpoint, but he became her Savior. And that's truth. That's just truth.
Well, that's it, you know, and that's all it is. You know, the apostles are praying to St. Peter, or St. Paul, or St. Stephen, or St. Anthony, all these different saints. It's, they're not omnipresent. Only God is.
No, it's like...
you know, I've been a Christian now 6 years, and before then I always believed in God, but I had no idea of the God of the Bible, you know. And you know, the basic gospel is just, you know, repenting of your sins. I've learned that, you know, listen to the words, read the words to Amazing Grace. You won't truly understand how great God's grace and his love is until you realize what a wretch you truly are.
And we don't like to admit that.
There's this
idea, Tom, that we humans hold, and it's this, that we're basically good people. You know, if you slice us up and you look inside, every single one of us, there's basic goodness at the core. Well, that's just not true. We were lost. We were dead. Our hearts were going away from God. We were rebelling against God. We were trying to do our own thing. We were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. And we would do so in total disregard for anyone else. If we needed to run over somebody to get to the top of the ladder, we would do it. If we needed to throw someone under the bus so people would look at us in a better light, we would do it. That's what mankind is like, and we see it every single day. And boy, we needed a heart change, and that's what took place with Jesus when Jesus Christ came to live inside of us. He gave us a heart change. So that's when grace becomes amazing, when we recognize our real need. I think in terms of some of the terminal diseases that are so prevalent in our society today, and cancer, you don't want to hear that word spoken to you, that you have cancer. But if you've never heard that, or you've never known somebody that's had cancer, cancer's just a word. You don't really understand the devastating nature of that disease and what it does to the body. But then you see it up close and personal. And when you realize some of these medications and things that are being used to fight against that and bring somebody to the other end where they're cured or they're in remission, you're so grateful. You're just so grateful. And that's the way it has to be as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. Sin is devastating. It's destructive. It will tear every single one of us apart, but grace comes along and sets us free. And when it does, we just can't help but sing Amazing Grace throughout eternity. I mean, it's just an amazing thing.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm going to drop off. I could talk to you probably for the whole half hour, but I'm sure you've got other people's on the phone. And I'll call again someday, and thank you for your kind words. And
well, you're welcome, Tom, and thanks
for elaborating on that.
Thanks for your call. And,
God bless you.
You as well.
God
you call
you
anytime.
Thank
Let me
you.
Put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey. I think you'll really enjoy listening through it, okay?
All right.
Hang on.
Thank you.
You kind of got on a roll there, didn't you?
Well, I did. I'm sorry. But, Tom just struck a chord in me, and this grace is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we have folks out there criticizing teachers of grace, calling it hyper grace, uber grace, that sort of thing, that we've just taken it way too far. You cannot take the grace of God too far.
Too deep.
Yeah, if Jesus Christ takes the grace of God as far as he wants to take it in us, we're going to see incredible things happen in us. We're going to see a transformation of character like we've never seen before. You cannot have enough grace. It's just like the person with cancer. You cannot have enough of the cure. If that's your situation, you want all of the cure that you can get.
Sure.
And so it is with grace. We need the grace of God. And I love when somebody like Tom calls and says, you know, I've received this grace, and I am so grateful that grace has set me free mm-hmm. from sin and death.
Yeah.
Not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin, and there's going to be a point in time where it sets us free from the presence of sin when we go to be with the Lord and are with him forever.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's basic gospel right there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. We've got some time on the clock and plenty of open lines, so if you've got that question that you haven't posed and you want to do that right now, we'd love for you to do it. 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, an email question from James, who writes to us from El Paso. How can we answer someone that says the Bible is sexist, women are treated as commodities? Men, including David, could have many wives, but women would be stoned. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's a good question. Certainly, the culture of the day was to treat women almost as second-class citizens. We see that. That's one of the things that I love about the Bible is it doesn't hide those. Mm-hmm. It doesn't try to make life look better than it was for those people back in the day. It just kind of lays out who they were, warts and all.
Yeah.
And so we see it. Were they sexist? Yes, they were. Does that mean God is? No, it doesn't. And the proof of it is simply this. Whenever the gospel message and wherever the gospel message has gone forth, has taken root, we see the status of women elevated every single time.
Yeah.
Why? Because God made man and woman equal. In Christ, there is no Jew, no Gentile, nor male, nor female. We all stand equal at the foot of the cross. That's good news. And when men get a hold of that message, they begin seeing women as their equals. They begin seeing women for who they are. They begin loving them for who they are. They begin letting go of objectifying, marginalizing, treating them as second-class citizens. They begin honoring and respecting women for who women truly are and what God created them to be. Mm-hmm. So Christianity is the only philosophy, if you want to call it a philosophy, the only religion, if you want to call it a religion, that elevates women to their true status.
Right.
And I think that is a glorious, glorious thing. There's lots of the old boy clubs that try to interpret it through their old boy club minds. But when they let go of that and read the word for what it is, they're going to see women in a completely different light.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, James. Appreciate your question. Good question, as a matter of fact.
Let's go to New Orleans and talk to Lula. Hi, Lula.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Okay. I listen to y'all every day.
Wonderful.
And I'm so amazed how y'all explain the Bible. And I love the Lord. I praise him. I do all I can to do what I have to do. I try it. And I just wanted to let y'all know that y'all do something to me when I listen to y'all. I listen to y'all every day. I get off of it. And you come on, and I just want to tell you, I really, really appreciate how you explain the Bible.
Well, Lula, we sure appreciate that. And one, thank you for letting us be a part of your life. That is humbling to us. That's honoring, and we so appreciate that. And more than that, thank you for coming on the program and being a part of our lives today.
Oh, absolutely.
So that is just wonderful. And all we have is Jesus and the Word of God. I mean, there's lots of things out there in the world that we could talk about. There's interesting stories that are happening. There's current events. But none of that compares to what we have in the Word of God. This is the most fascinating story that's ever been penned. And the fact of the matter is that it's being penned through us. It is being lived out through us who have come to Christ by faith, who have recognized the value and worth of his death, who have longed for something new and have found it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and who have received that gift of the Holy Spirit. This story of God in Jesus Christ is now being lived out in us, and that is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. That is the story. And when Jesus Christ comes, the whole world will recognize that that's the story, and those who have rejected that story are gonna be wishing that they had stepped onto those pages and partaken of all that God had for them in Jesus Christ. So, Lula, thanks so much for encouraging us today.
And you're welcome, and God bless you.
Well, you too. Let me put you on hold, and we'll just send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey just as our way of saying thanks for encouraging us, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless.
And we'll be giving that information again on how everyone can have a copy in just a couple of moments.
Well, let's go to Clinton, Mass., and talk to Joe listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. How about you?
Yeah, a little worried about a blood blister from a dental extraction, but that's okay. It was on the other side of the cheek where he pulled my mouth open.
I had one of those not too long ago. Those aren't pleasant, so.
Yeah, they're supposed to go away in a few days, but this has been 7 or 8 days. But anyway, the word holy is always neuter, always. And it's always used with Holy Spirit, and Spirit is neuter, of course, because they have to agree. And I was wondering why, and I'm not a Jehovah's Witness in as much as all of their doctrine, but this is what I got from them, that infants are holy, are neuter. That John the Baptist was. And a lot, they brought out a lot of designations from the Bible, the Jehovah's Witnesses, that are designated as what is better is holy, and it's neuter, and we breathe the Spirit.
Well, there were utensils, you know, for example, in the temple that were declared to be holy.
I don't know. Well, that makes quite a disparity, all right, but.
Well, the whole point of that is holy is just a word that means to be set apart. And when we're made holy through faith in Jesus Christ, we're set apart for God's use. God comes to live inside of us through the Spirit, through His Spirit, and He sets us apart and utilizes us to be vessels of His love and grace and mercy in this world today. And that's an incredible purpose that God has granted to us. And holy being set apart from kind of the things of the world.
True.
Well, Joe, we're out of time for this broadcast. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Folks, for many years, this ministry has been supported through the prayers and gifts of people just like you, people who have heard truth and responded to it, and today it's no different. Your support is vital if we're to remain on the air with the good news of the Basic Gospel, and you can help at this time by simply going online to basicgospel.net or by phoning 1-800-727-2828. Join us with your most generous gift, Basic Gospel. It's that message that God wants us all to hear. Again, basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. We'll send you a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey on CD, our gift to you, to say thanks for your generous gift to the ministry. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And also, we'd like you to join our email list at basicgospel.net. Just click subscribe in the upper menu. So until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.